please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program on this beautiful Tuesday here in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. We're glad that you have tuned in to 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship, WMIE. And today we are going to be going back to the Word of God and seeing if there's anything in there that God can use to deliver us from a life of covetousness into a life of blessing. And we know that we're going to find truth that is going to impact us in a powerful way. So do want to invite you out to our services tomorrow night, Wednesday night. We will be having our adult Bible study as well as our youth group meeting. Youth meets in the fellowship hall. The adults meet in the sanctuary where we will be studying God's word. And I'm just so thankful we've got people in our church that are being raised up in their gift of teaching, and you know, spurring one another on to good works. And so we'd love to have you come and be a part of that at 7 p.m. We're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 today. And verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9, we're going to read to the end of the chapter. It says there, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So yesterday I shared with you about the gift, the purpose of the gift, the process that is going to be the gift is going to be utilized for, and the result. Today I want to point out that in verse number 8, it said, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that is present, that you will always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. The past tense, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. What I want you to see first off today is that God's always been a giver. God is currently a giver. He's always going to be a giver. And so you don't have to wonder about whether or not God's character or his ability as a provider is ever going to diminish. God is, was, and always will be the all-sufficient God who wants to make sure that his people are all sufficiently provided for every area of their life. See, I believe that Christians ought to be the cream of the crop, not the bottom of the barrel. I believe that we all need the grace of God, but I believe that having an all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful God living inside of us should give us an unfair advantage, if you will, over those who do not. I believe that God intends for you to be an ambassador for Christ, and me an ambassador for Christ, so that people will say, you know what, there's something different about them. There's something that is going on. How are they able to do everything that they do? You see, supernatural supersedes that which is natural. And so I want to encourage you to believe that God is going to be able to use you. One of my favorite people in the Bible is a young lady that has no mention of her name whatsoever. She was a little girl from Israel who was carried off into captivity as a prisoner of war and had ended up in the household of a military person by the name of Naaman. And Naaman had leprosy. More than likely, this little girl's parents had been killed during a military raid, and yet in the house of this commander that she was serving, she looked upon him in his need and said, "Oh, that you were in Israel, because my God would be able to heal you of your leprosy." And Naaman believed her. Okay. Now that's really good. when you have developed a level of credibility that people, even when you make a statement about something that has never, no known record that a leper had been cleansed at that point in time, to the best of my knowledge. And she says, "My God is sufficient for solving your dilemma." And he believed her, went to his king, who wrote a letter to Israel's king, who automatically did what a lot of people do, and that is, "Why is this guy causing me problems? Nobody can cure leprosy. Why is this person being sent to me?" And the prophet said, "I tell you what, you don't worry about that. You just send that person to me." That entire story began because there was a little girl who had no money, wasn't in a situation that she wanted herself to be in, but she said, "You know what? I believe that God is able to make me a blessing even in unpleasant circumstances." And Naaman ended up getting healed of his leprosy as a result of that. I believe that not only Naaman was impacted, but I believe that all of those people who traveled with Naaman were also impacted. Can you imagine the sixth time that he submerged himself in the Jordan River and nothing happened, and all of a sudden he comes up the seventh time and is completely and totally cleansed? You see, I believe that God is still in the miracle working business. I do. It says here that he has dispersed abroad. That means it's not just a localized giving. It says he has given to the poor. That means it's not just those people who you look at and see natural resources. There is provision of God that you have in your life. Now, I've known a lot of people who operated life that their entire focus of life was going from one emergency to another emergency to another emergency. And in between those emergencies, they just lived whatever way they wanted to. They had never discovered the grace of giving. And it was just crisis management was what their life was entirely about, until one day you're going to wake up and you're going to find that all that time that you were just managing the crises and going around and seeking help here and seeking help here, but never really being touched and changed by the power of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One day you wake up and all of a sudden you're going to find that you have a greater crisis than you've ever had before, and you're going to wonder, "Where's God in all of this?" Well, God was there every step of the way, and it's not just provision for provision's sake. It's provision for transformation. And so he says, "His righteousness endures forever." I received some ministers' emails, and sometimes they're just kind of unrelenting. They just come wave after wave after wave, and if I read the headline, the title of the article, and it captures my attention, then many times I'll just go ahead and click on that article, because I very rarely go back and read them if I've passed them. And so I read this one minister's newsletter here not too long ago, a week or so ago, and it described this person who was raised in church, very, very famous person. Parents took him to church. They were a believer. And along the way of his journey, he ran across someone who caused him to question the plan of God, the person of God, you know, the availability of forgiveness, and he ended up getting in contact with this person who did not believe in the reality of what God's word has to say. And this person has gone on to say that he no longer identifies as being affiliated with any sort of church whatsoever. And it's like, I thought of that and I thought, how sad. How sad that that any of us could ever get to the place where we think that our righteousness and our wisdom supersedes the righteousness and the wisdom of God. His righteousness endures forever. I pray that you come to that place where you realize that God is perfect. He is perfectly holy. He is perfectly wise. He's perfectly sovereign. He's perfectly powerful. And the only reason that we still exist is because it is His will and pleasure for us to exist for His pleasure. That the day that we think that we know more than God, or we have insight that contradicts the Word of God, and our insight is greater than the Word of God, at that point in time, we have placed ourselves in a very, very dangerous place. Please recognize that His provision has always been, and His provision is always going to be. So what about right now? What about right now? It says here in verse number 10, now may He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. So let's just talk about that. I love the now passages in the scripture. Now faith is. I believe that God has situations where He wants us to know, I'm not talking about something that's going to take place in the future. I want to deal with you in your right now. And what God says here in chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians in verse number 10 is, now may He, capital H, meaning God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. So let's go back. There's the gift. Well, there's the giver of the gift. There's the purpose of the gift. And so Paul identifies to the Corinthians that there are two specific type of provisions that go beyond grace that God is going to provide for them. The first is that He provides seed. The second, in this verse, is that He provides bread. In reality, the two provisions look identical. If you receive a wheat grain or a seed that is going to be used to raise up wheat, it's going to look identical to the grain that you would be able to use for bread. So you have to recognize that many times the gift is going to look just, it can at times look just like any other gift, but it has a different purpose. If you are given your seed, then you cannot mistake your seed for your bread. Your seed is meant to be placed into your hands so that you can then take it to fertile soil and plant that seed in the ground to where it's going to produce 100-fold or multiple times. It's going to be a perpetuating gift. Okay? So you cannot confuse your seed with your bread, because if you eat your seed, what God intended to be a gift that sustains you is going to be a gift that you consume, and it's not going to fulfill the purpose for which it was given. So that's why I tell you, whenever an offering comes in for a missionary, that entire offering goes towards that missionary, because there are people on the field, on the mission field, that are going to hear about Jesus, and we may never meet them this side of eternity, but one of these days we're going to find out that that seed produced a harvest that continues to go on. Every time you look around and you see that there are things that are growing and that there's food that is being grown, you've got to realize that that is because of the power of the seed that God placed within it all the way back at creation. You see, I just don't have enough faith to believe in the macro evolution that people want to talk about, that everything just kind of, you know, swam out of a tree and fell out of a swamp. I say that backwards just because I find the entire argument to be exponentially outrageous. I just can't stretch that far. I can believe that there's a God who created things. I have less faith in the power of something that is inorganic becoming organic. I have not enough faith to believe that the everything that we would need to sustain our life would just happen to fall along the evolutionary timeline at the same time that we just happen to need it, that the diversity between man and woman, male and female, that all just happened at the same time, and then it just happened in the same particular location. You see, I just don't have, it's just so much easier to believe that what the Word of God says is true, and that God created the land, and he created the animals, and he created the trees of the field and the plants of the earth, and he created man and he created woman, and he said, this is going to be good. This is good. This is going to be great. Going to be very good. So ever since that time, there's been that seed. Noah comes along and the flood comes, and you say, well, that's it. That's the end of all of the crops. And God says, no, that's not the end of it. As long as the earth shall endure, there's going to be seed time and harvest. So we still have not gotten to the point where we are technologically able to function without seed time and harvest. In fact, there was somebody recently that was talking about the decreasing number of honeybees, and said, if there's anything that ever happens to the honeybee, that germinates the crop or pollinates the crop, and then things grow as a result of that. If that doesn't happen, said man could be extinct in just a short period of time. Well, I've got good news for you. Man's not going extinct anytime soon. Well, you say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says that it's not happening. That's not the way it's all going to go down. But we've got to realize the difference between the seed and the bread. The seed is given by God to us for the purpose of being planted, being released, so that it can become a greater crop than it is right now. Okay? The second thing that is supplied is bread for food. Many times we think that God is so interested in the future that he may leave us in a place of insufficiency in the right now, and I want you to know that that's not the case. It is not all about the future. God is very much concerned about your right now as well. And even though that the grain that is sown as seed is very similar, if not identical, to the grain that is used for bread, the purpose is different. This is bread for food. This is bread that is supposed to be consumed, that will impart strength. This, where the other will sustain, this gift strengthens. This gift strengthens. But in order for that grain to become bread, it has got to be processed. It has got to be worked. The first person that I heard mention this was our adult Sunday school, Tim Garrison. He talked about the manna. And the children of Israel, every day during their wilderness wanderings, they would get up, they would go out, 6 days a week, and they would find manna on the ground that was sufficient for the need that they had. And on the day before the Sabbath, they would go out that morning and they would find manna that would not only be sufficient for that day, but it would be sufficient for the Sabbath as well, because they weren't supposed to go out on the Sabbath. So 6 days, there was provision for 7 days of food. But, and here was the point that he brought out, that manna had to be processed. It had to be ground down. It was kneaded. It was handled. And they took it from the grain form into a bread form, and it had a taste like nothing else this world had ever experienced. They managed to keep some of that, even though the manna would deteriorate and rot and it would become bug-infested after overnight, except for on the day of the Sabbath. They took some of that manna and they put it in its unprocessed form, and they kept it in the Ark of the Covenant along with Aaron's rod that budded and the Ten Commandments. But they had to work that. Many times people are looking for a gift that they don't have to work, that they don't have to process. I will tell you that I believe that God is looking to give us things that we work for, we work with, we work for the glory of God. Because here's what I've discovered, that if people do not have any investment in a gift, any personal involvement with it, if all that happens is you just give them something, then they feel no responsibility for it. I was having a conversation with someone recently, and they were talking about, well, what if we did this? What if we had a person and said, this is what you are responsible for, and this is what you get? And I said, it's not going to end well. It sounds like it ought to be something that would work, but it's not going to end well, because people have to have in their hands, they've got to be able to see what it looks like and what God can make out of it. I've got daughters right now. well, I've had daughters for a number of years, but right now they are in a stage where they say, what can we make out of this? What can we make out of this? And so seed and bread look the same. They've got to be given over from their from the natural state that they are received in, one for sowing for sustainability, the other given over to the skill and the craftsmanship of the person that's handling it to see what it can become that will impart strength. God wants you to be strong. He wants you to be well fed and well cared for. But we are involved in that process. And so I do believe that there is much to be said for, hey, let's see what God can do out of this. There are two types of people who go to look at houses. One is a person walks in and they're looking for a turnkey house, one that they don't have to do anything. The walls are painted. The floors are nice. Everything is just the way that they want it. They just get the key, they unlock the door, and voila, they're home. I've never had one of those. I was the type of person that came in and said, okay, we see what it looks like in its provided for form. What can God do through us? What is this house's potential? What can we make this into for the glory of God? I think today that if you look around, you will find that God has provided something that you can be able to sow. I believe that you will also find that right now God has provided everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness. You see, He's not just going to be your provider in heaven. He will be your provider here on earth now. But what are you going to do with the gift? How are you going to recognize the purpose? You got to acknowledge God's purpose, and then you say, okay, God, what's the process? How can we get from this condition to the condition that you want to make this into a blessing? That's about all the time we've got for today. We will take a break for about 23 and a half hours, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Change, don't you say? But I keep holding on to you. It's hard to keep.